Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Man, I am so excited about today. So excited. Hey, how many of you, this is your very first Easter with us? Will you
wait? First Easter.
First Easter.
Come on,
welcome,
come on.
Welcome.
Wow, awesome.
So just for some of you who may not know us, I just want to give you a brief introduction. I am an attorney by training, and Philip is a football coach. And so if you hear that come through, just know that that's true. Both of us have had our lives just radically changed by Jesus. And we're standing on this platform because we truly believe that Jesus can change your life too. See, that is what the hope of Easter really is. It's the hope that we have because of what Jesus' story tells us. Because, you know, that's what we're doing here today, is we're celebrating and we're retelling Jesus' story. You know, I grew up in church, and so we sang it this way, like, He came from heaven to earth to show the way from, nobody knows the song? Oh, come on, help me. My debt to pay, come on. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord. Yes, some of you knew the motions. You get extra points. So proud. For those of you who don't know it, you know, it's okay. We'll tell you after service. It'll be great. It'll be a whole choir thing. But that's the story of Jesus. It's that simple. It's that simple. See, God created humankind in His image because He wanted to be with us. And then humanity chose their own way over God's way. We rebelled against our Creator, but God wasn't done with us. Instead, He sent Himself in the person of Jesus Christ, a human being that actually walked on this earth 2,000 years ago. I like to say it this way. Jesus came through time and space to rescue us 2,000 years ago. And while He was here on earth, He lived a perfect life. He didn't sin. He didn't mess up. He showed us how to love people just so incredibly. He loved those who were on the margins of society. He stood up for those who were being oppressed. He cared for people. He loved everybody. And they killed Him for it. His way of life was so radically different that it threatened the religious leaders and the political leaders of the day to the point that they conspired to kill Him. But this is what Christians believe, is that we believe that He wasn't murdered, that He wasn't executed, but that He willingly laid down His life for you and for me so that we would have a chance to know God. And then the crazy part comes. Although, if you believe that God Himself came through time and space 2,000 years ago, I guess this isn't that crazy. But it really is the most controversial event in all of human history. We as Christians believe that Jesus did not stay dead. We believe literally, not figuratively, not in our hearts, but that literally the Spirit of God on the inside of Jesus was so powerful that it raised Him from the dead on the third day. And that today we do not serve a dead God. We do not revere a leader that lived a long time ago and had some good things to say. We don't even just follow a list of rules and prescriptions. Instead, today we serve a living Savior who is present and available to know us.
Very good.
That's the story of Easter. Yes. And Christians are those people who so deeply believe that story that we have chosen to build our life on its truth. But can we just be honest about where we are right now? The last 2 years have been tough. That would be a good place for those of you who don't even know how to say amen. Right?
Yeah.
Last 3 years. Maybe you say, well, Destiny, it was really tough for me before then. But, I mean, stuff has been happening that, you know, somebody told me the other day, it's exhausting living through history. And for many of us, we've come to a moment where we kind of lost hope. Lost hope in humanity. Lost hope in government. Lost hope in religious institutions. Lost hope maybe in our family. In our own ability to make good choices. We just kind of lost hope. And if that's where you are today, I've got great news. Because the God of hope is still here and still present and still available for every one of us. And Jesus Christ is still the hope of the world.
And whenever we place our hope in Christ, what happens is that God fills us up with the hope that we need to live a full life in an empty world. And for the next few weeks here at North Point, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about how do you live full in an empty world. But it all begins when we make the choice to put our trust and to put our hope in Christ Jesus. You see, the Apostle Paul, he was a leader in the early church, and this is what he said in Romans 15, 13. He says, I pray that God, the source of hope, God is the source of hope, that he will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with this confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, whenever you put your hope in the source of hope, he then gives you a supernatural hope that allows your life to overflow. And this is what the scripture actually says in the book of Hebrews about this hope that we have in Christ, that this hope serves as an anchor for our souls. So whenever you find yourself in the storms of life, whenever you find yourself walking through difficult seasons, you don't have to allow what you walk through to shake you. You don't have to allow what is happening around you to knock you off course. No, why? Because you have this hope that acts as an anchor for your soul. And while people around you and circumstances around you might be being shifted by the winds and the storms of life, you can be firmly put. Why? Because you have this hope in Christ Jesus. So what is this hope? What is this hope that we are given when we decide to trust in Jesus? What is this hope that we can have when we put our faith in him? What is this hope that we have in his resurrection, this hope that we have in the Easter story? What does it give us? Well, it gives us three hopes. The resurrection gives us three hopes, and we're going to talk about these real quickly today. And the first hope that we find out of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the hope of eternal life.
Now, eternal life sounds like a really big concept, but it just basically means this. It's eternal life means we get to spend eternity with Jesus. That after we die, that our spirits go somewhere called heaven. And this is what we as Christians believe about heaven, is that heaven is a real place. We don't believe that it's a state of mind. We don't believe that it's a nice metaphor. We don't believe that it's a pretty concept. We really believe that it is a real place, and that God exists there in a way that we cannot perceive him here on earth. The Apostle Paul, one of the early church fathers, said it this way, that now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. No matter how much we experience God here on earth, there is an experience waiting for us in eternity. But not only that, not only is heaven a real place and God is there in a way that we can't experience him here on earth, but also, and this is the best news of all, we are invited. You are invited. And more than invited, you are wanted. This isn't like the invitation when you're a sixth grader, you know, and you're like, you show up at a party, like a birthday party, and you're like, I got invited to this birthday party. And then you find out that the reason you got invited is because your mom called their mom and their mom made them invite you. And yes, it is true that you were invited, but you were not wanted. Have you ever had the experience of walking in somewhere where you were invited but not really wanted? That's not the way it is with this invitation. He wants you. He sees you exactly how you are. He's not faked out by your pretty clothes and the way that you put on. He's not faked out by your tough act and the way you push people away. He sees you exactly as you are, and yet he still invites you with longing and with joy, hoping that you will accept that invitation. I love the way the Apostle Paul, that early church father, put it in one of his letters, Titus 3, 3 through 7. This is what it says. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life.
See, we can truly live as Christ followers with this hope for eternal life. And this hope for eternal life, it changes the way that we live. It changes even the way that we think about death, because this hope of eternal life is a hope that we carry all the way up until our very last breath that we have on this earth. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, about those who have already died, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." So the Bible's saying, listen, you don't have to grieve like other people grieve because they don't have hope, but we have this eternal hope from our God. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And because we believe he died and rose again, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. You see, because we believe in the power of the resurrection, that Jesus died and was raised to life, we believe that we also, when we die, we will step from this life into the next life. So therefore, we don't have to grieve like the world grieves. Now listen, you don't become a Christ follower. You don't follow Jesus so that you can avoid pain and loss. You don't become a Jesus follower so that you will never have to grieve. No, this is what it means to follow Jesus. You are not eliminated from experiencing pain and loss. Here's what you have. In the midst of pain and loss, you have this hope that will carry you through. In the midst of your grief, you have this powerful hope that will allow you to keep on moving forward in spite of the situation that you find yourself in. So you don't have to grieve like one who has no hope. Why? Because we have this eternal hope, this eternal life, hope of eternal life that comes from our Creator God.
And this is really important. Our invitation, this hope of eternal life, this, hey, I want you to come and be with me, it is not based on our works. You don't have to say a certain number of prayers or walk a certain number of miles or do a certain number of good deeds or accumulate merit in order to have the Christian hope of eternal life. It's much simpler than that. And Jesus laid it out for a doubter named Nicodemus, for a questioner named Nicodemus. This way, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," talking about Jesus, "that whoever," now let's be real, you and I would have put an asterisk right there on that whoever. And we would have said, I mean, come, you have a couple people, everybody does, who we just kind of feel like should be excluded from the whoever. But that's not how Jesus is. Jesus doesn't feel that way. Jesus doesn't say it that way. He's serious. Whoever believes on him will have eternal life. And then he goes on to say this. He says, "I didn't come into the world to condemn the world." I'm sorry if you've had encounters with Christians where they spent a lot of time making you feel bad so they could feel better. Because they were different than you, and they needed you to know how different they were. Wow. That's not the way that Jesus is. Jesus, in fact, went so far to identify himself with us that he became human so that he would know all of the struggles of humanity. Can you imagine how far he went to identify with us? To have something in common with us. He didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but that through him, everyone could be saved. And then he says this, he says, it's your disbelief, only your rejection of me that can condemn you, because it's your choice. We have that choice. It's through grace that we are saved. It is not through our works. It's nothing that we do. We cannot earn it. We cannot deserve it. We cannot merit it. And sometimes we can have this idea that once we've served Jesus for a little bit of time, that somehow we have earned our eternal hope. And we haven't. It is a gift at the beginning, and it's a gift all the way to the end. But it's not just eternal life that we have a hope of. That's right. We also have hope of a new life.
The resurrection gives us the hope of a brand new life. You see, we do not have to wait until we die to experience brand new life. No, instead, that can happen right here on the earth. Peter was a follower of Jesus, and he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth." Say new birth.
New birth.
"Into a living hope." Say living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, it is the resurrection that has given us this new birth. Maybe you've heard people say before about being born again. Being born again. Well, that actually comes from Jesus, a conversation that Jesus was having with Nicodemus, as Destiny was just talking about, in John chapter 3. And Jesus told Nicodemus this. He said, hey, if you want to experience and see the kingdom of heaven, you can't just be really good at following a bunch of rules and laws. No, you must be born again. You must allow your spirit to experience this new birth. And sometimes what we see in Jesus is we say, oh yeah, okay, I understand. Jesus came to forgive the sins of my past, and Jesus came to give me eternal life in heaven, but we miss the part from here until there. You see, Jesus didn't just come to forgive the sins of your past, and he did not just come to give you the hope of eternal life. He came to give you a hope of a brand new life, that things could change, that you could have a new nature, and so that you could live out a brand new future. You see, you are born again, and when we say that, it means you are born into something new. Say new.
New.
That's the hope that we all have, the hope for new life. In Colossians chapter 3, The Bible says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. How many of you understand that's a new life if you're going to live like God? That's not like the old life that we've lived. No, there's got to be something brand new that happens if I'm going to know God and be like Him. And it says in verse 11, in this new life, in this new life that you can now live because of the power of the resurrection, it doesn't matter if you were a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. And because Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, lives on the inside of us, we don't have to wait until heaven to have that new life. No, we can have brand new life right now that comes from the life of His Spirit.
And this hope of a new life means that we don't have to be controlled by the same prejudices, by the same addictions, by the same attitudes, by the same hatred, by all of the same things that maybe have controlled things in the past for our families or for our friends or for our communities. We don't have to live with the same rage on the inside. It means that this hope of eternal life comes with a true life change. A fresh start. What a hope. Can we believe that maybe things can be different? Four generations ago, my family was very, very different. My great-grandmother was a bootlegger during Prohibition. Some of you don't know what Prohibition is. You can Google it later. Basically, it meant that she threw great parties and made moonshine. We were dysfunctional. Generations of deep, deep poverty, generations of abuse, generations of things that were just really, really tough, generations of deception, generations of spiritual darkness. But one day, my little illiterate great-grandmother, whose first language was French, had the audacity to hope. To believe maybe it could be different. Maybe she didn't have to stay trapped in the same cycle that had carried her and her family for generations. And she walked into a church service and she had an encounter with Jesus that was so powerful that she decided that it truly was a fresh start. She started that day with a brand new life. And she was a little spunky thing. She was radical. She went home and she poured out all of the moonshine. That was the business. Her husband was very angry. But she started a new life. She started a radical new life. And today, four generations later, her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren have preached this gospel on every continent except for Antarctica. And everywhere we go, we carry with her story that says one choice by one person can change generations. One choice by one person to believe that there is a way to make a fresh start, that things don't have to be the way they were in the back, that we can be different. One choice can change everything. This is what's so beautiful, is that it's not just a one-time thing. Yes, she had a fresh start. That day when she walked into the church service, she had a fresh start. And that hope would always be with her. That moment is so important to us in our family history. And maybe, can I just say, maybe there's somebody in here and today will be what your children and grandchildren talk about. The day that you chose to hope. And they'll say, Grandma gave us a different life because she dared to hope. But this is what's so beautiful, is it's not just a one-time thing. And then God leaves you alone until you get to glory. Amen. No, there's also the hope of an abundant life. John 10:10 says it this way, "The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But I," talking about Jesus, "I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." It's more than just not living the old life. There is an abundant life.
And the abundant life is a life that is full. It's a life that is full, and which then brings the question, full of what? What is the abundant life full of? And the Bible says, we read in Romans 15 earlier, when it says, and I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely, that you would be filled completely with peace, that you would be filled completely with joy as you choose to trust in him. And then you would overflow with this confident hope through the power of his Spirit. Now listen, if we did a little survey in here and I just asked everybody, who would like a little bit more joy? Who in the room could use a little bit more peace? I don't think we would have one person in the room would be like, nah, I'm good. Everybody would say, yeah, I'll take a little more joy. Sure, I would love a little more peace. And you see, Easter, the story of the resurrection, is what gives us access to the source of all hope, which will fill us with all of the things that we need to live the life he created us to live. See, whenever we accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, whenever we decide to take his way over our way, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, begins to produce something on the inside of us. In the Bible, in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about this as the fruit of the Spirit, the result of the work of God's Spirit on the inside of us. He says, this is what the Spirit will do in you. It will grow love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And those things are not dependent on the circumstances that you find yourself in life. No, the Spirit of God can produce those things in spite of the circumstances that you find. You see, if Jesus made you the promise that you could live the abundant life, that you could live a life that was full and overflowing, Jesus could not have made that promise if it was contingent upon your situation and your circumstance. He couldn't have made that promise to you if it was dependent on the attitudes of the people around you. So this is what we know about the abundant life, that no matter what we find ourselves in, the Spirit of God can do such a powerful work on the inside of us that we can live full even when everybody around us is empty, that we can live full of light even in the midst of the darkness, because it's not about what is happening around us. It's about what God is doing on the inside of us. And we have the hope of abundant life because it comes from the source of all life.
You know, it's just like Philip said, it's that same Spirit, right, that raised Christ from the dead that produces this in us. What a powerful thing. Because sometimes it's hard to believe that we can live the life that is described in the Bible. For example, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This is my question. Do you dare to hope that that could be true in your life? Do you dare to hope that you could get out of the cycle of worry? Do you dare to hope that you could stop waking up at 3 a.m. anxious with your heart pounding? Do you dare to hope that depression wouldn't control you anymore? Do you dare to hope that the rage on the inside wouldn't be the way that you would define yourself? Do you dare to hope that you could be full? Not just not doing the stuff that you used to do, not just fleeing from the old life, but be full of mission and be full of purpose. Do you dare to hope that you could make a difference in your job, that you could make a difference in your community, you could make a difference in your family? Do you dare to hope that you and your spouse could do more than just tolerate each other, that you could have a spirit-filled marriage where there is true love and true joy and true respect and your home is full of? Do you dare to hope? Do you dare to hope? When I was 20 years old, I was in college and everything in my life looked perfect. It didn't look good. It looked perfect. I had a boyfriend who adored me. I was doing great in school. I was living a very good life. But on the inside, honestly, I was crumbling. I was dealing with depression, and then I was dealing with shame about the depression. It was keeping me from connecting with the people around me. It made me feel so alone. And I came to a broken moment where I had a choice. Would I just keep living until eternity, you know, with that hope? Would I limit myself to the first two hopes, that hope of eternal life and the hope of the fresh start? Would I limit myself, or would I just dare to hope that what he said in his word, that what he wrote about the life I could have could be true, that I could not just have life, but it could be full and to the overflowing, that I could have peace that goes beyond what I understand, that I could have joy in every circumstance, that I could learn the secret to contentment, that I wouldn't have to. And I'm just telling you, this is the truth. Is while it was a journey to learn to live that out, it was a moment of hope that changed my life. Where I stopped limiting him by what I saw in other people's lives. Well, Sister So-and-so has followed Jesus for 30 years, and she's, you know, she's mean. And I know she follows Jesus, and she's got all kinds of things. And I know starting to say, well, I guess I can't because they haven't. What if instead of limiting ourselves by what we see in other people's lives, we just asked God, what's possible in my life? And we just took him in his word. He says that he came. Listen to me. He says that he came to give you life to the full until it overflows. What if you just believe him? What if today, Easter 2022, after two of the toughest years in recent history, you were brave and you dared to hope? You dared to hope that there was an abundant life that you could live every single day.
See, whenever we put our hope in the source of hope, he adds the super to our natural so that we might have supernatural joy and supernatural peace and supernatural things that come from the source of hope. It's not just about eternal life. It's not just about the new life. Jesus said, I came so that you, so that whosoever would believe would not just have eternal life, but could also live abundant life, live a life that is full and a life that is overflowing. When you walked in, there was a little card that was on your seat. I encourage you to take this with you and let it serve as a reminder, because this is my hope for you. My hope for you today is that you'll say, you know, in these next 5 weeks, I'm going to try to be here as much as I can, because I really do want to learn how to live full in an empty world. I don't want to live empty like the world is empty. I don't want to live dark like the world is dark. I want to learn, what is it to live hopeful, to live full of hope, to put my hope in Him so that the source of hope could fill me to overflowing with a confident hope that says, wow, there is hope of eternity. There is hope of new life, and there is hope for an abundant life.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.